We now bring to these microphones David James. It's the time for the weekly conversation that David and I have on an issue that is key for our biblical understanding of as it relates to how we walk with the Lord on a daily basis. This time, a deeper look at the miraculous aspects of the Christmas account in the Bible. David, Merry Christmas. A blessed Christmas to you and your family. So glad to have you along today.
Well, thank you so much. Merry Christmas to you and yours as well. And it's always a great time of year, and I look forward to our discussions related to the Christmas theme as well.
Well, that's our theme this week. Let's remember that last week we discussed a recent Pew Research Center survey that indicated that fewer Americans than ever view Christmas as a religious holiday.
Well, that's right. And we cited a New York Times article with the title, "Is Christmas a Religious Holiday?" And a growing number of Americans say no. That was the title of the article. And it was based upon a study of over 1,500 people and showed a trend in American society that, as we might expect, that a fewer number of people each year would view Christmas as a religious holiday and simply celebrate it as some sort of secular celebration and not connected to the biblical account at all.
Yeah, and one part of that survey that we talked about being of greatest concern was that fewer professing Christians believe the miraculous aspects of the Christmas account.
Well, that's true, and we talked about the fact that as the church tends to lag society, I would guess 30 to 40 years, as I have seen, that the way the society views things, they tend to drag the church along in its wake, and Christians, professing Christians, not saying necessarily born-again believers, but the professing church tends to follow. And what we saw in the survey was that only about 57% of all Americans would believe the biblical account, but even among Christians, over that same four-year period, it was actually down by a total of 5%, which I think is rather an astounding number.
Yes, it is very astounding and concerning as well. Well, today we've already spoken with three pastors in Israel on this special edition of Prophecy Today, Christmas Around the World. Now, these are pastors who serve in the three most important places connected with the Christmas account, Nazareth, Bethlehem, and Jerusalem. So what I would like to do is consider the miraculous events that were connected with those places, beginning with Nazareth, which is where we talk with Nazar Tuma as a pastor.
This is a great topic to discuss. As we begin in Nazareth, we find in Luke chapter 1, beginning in verse 26, we read this: "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary." Now, this is significant and miraculous for a couple of reasons. One, you have God's direct intervention into human history through the appearance of an angel, and again, that's one of those aspects of the Christmas account. And again, we don't like to call them stories. These are accounts because they actually happen. A story gives the idea that maybe it's just a myth or a fable, but these are accounts, historical accounts of what actually happened. And so you have God sending the messenger angel Gabriel to announce to Mary that she is going to be with child. Now, the second aspect of this that is significant is not only that he appeared to both Mary and Joseph and to comfort Joseph when his wife, Mary, turned up pregnant, but also the fact that Mary had not known a man. They were betrothed, but they had not consummated their marriage. And so this is a fulfillment of Isaiah chapter 7, where it says, as a sign to the Davidic dynasty, to the house of David, that the virgin will be with child. So it's a very important event. And theologically speaking, the reason that Jesus Christ, the Savior, was born of a virgin was because that sin, as is the soul, is passed on from the union of a man and woman. And so by breaking that natural conception, it broke the sin being passed on. And so Jesus had no sin nature, and therefore he did not sin and could not sin. Very important as far as our salvation is concerned.
Very, very important. Well, let's now turn our attention to Jerusalem and the encounter between Herod the Great and the wise men from the east. Obviously, one of the big questions that many don't usually think about is how these Persian priests came to know about the prophesied King of the Jews.
Well, right, and your discussion with Menno, a dear friend of ours, Menno taught in Hungary and continues to teach in Hungary, where I was the director of the Bible Institute for Word of Life there. You know, Menno has a great opportunity to minister, especially at this time of year. And as we think about the biblical account in Matthew chapter 2, what we find is now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, and as they went to Herod, they asked Herod, where is he who has been born king of the Jews? Now, Herod's title as the puppet king of Rome, his title was the king of the Jews as well. So this would have been an absolutely startling statement to have this group of men, as you noted, they would have been Persian priests. Now, this takes us back into the book of Daniel. In Daniel chapter 2, Daniel interpreted a dream, both gave the dream and interpreted the dream for the Babylonian king Nebuchadnezzar. And it talked about four kingdoms that would come, and an extension of that fourth kingdom, the revived Roman Empire, would be destroyed by the kingdom of God that was depicted by the stone coming down from heaven that would cause that statue to topple, which we understand will happen during the tribulation period as Jesus Christ sets up his kingdom. Now, the reason this is important is that in Daniel chapter 2, verse 48, we read that the Babylonian king promoted Daniel and gave him many gifts and made him ruler over the whole province of Babylon and chief administrator over all the wise men of Babylon. So Daniel was set over all of the magicians, the wise men, the priests in Babylon. And then when the Medo-Persian Empire came in and took over the Babylonian Empire, Daniel continued in that role. So these Persian priests from the time of Daniel, he would have trained them, and Daniel's legacy remained so that when the time came for Jesus to be born in Bethlehem, these Persians actually knew the Hebrew scriptures, and it goes clear back to Daniel's legacy. An amazing story.
Amazing story, and boy, that's great information you've just given all of us. Well, then, of course, there is Bethlehem, which is the birthplace of our Savior Jesus Christ, and where we connected with Johnny Shawan. There are multiple miraculous events associated with this little town south of Jerusalem.
Well, that's right. You know, first of all, the fact that the town of Bethlehem was prophesied in Micah 5:2, that as part of that prophecy of what would come and affirmed in Matthew chapter 2, that out of Bethlehem in the land of Judah, there will come a ruler, someone will come who shall be a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. So what we have is the Bethlehem being the focal point and seeing the fulfillment of so many prophecies related to the coming of the Messiah, being the city of David, the place where the hometown of David, and we understand that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, the Son of Man, and the Son of David. And then, of course, one of the most important things that we find is the announcement to the priestly shepherds in the hills just outside Bethlehem, where they were raising sheep to be sacrificed. And the fact that Jesus Christ himself may have been laid alongside some of those other sacrificial lambs who were being raised by these priestly shepherds, and then the angels appearing to them and telling them that they should not be afraid. We find this in Luke chapter 2, and they say in verse 11 of Luke 2, "For there is born to you this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord."
Yes, praise the Lord for that. How important is it, David, do you think, for believers to accept as literally true the biblical account of the events surrounding the birth of Jesus?
Well, the fact is, when Jesus became a man, the incarnation, it's in and of itself, is a miraculous event. And everything surrounding his birth, from the prophecies related to the fact that he was born a virgin and that the place of his birth, the timing of his birth, all of these things are integral to the Christmas account, what we would call the Christmas story. And so there's no way to separate out one aspect of this Christmas account from another. They really all stand or fall together. And as believers, we need to simply take God's word at face value and use what we always talk about, the literal, grammatical, historical hermeneutic, because if we don't, then not only does the Christmas account fall apart, but even the basis for our own salvation falls apart as well.
David, as we did last week, we want to make sure that we share with all of our listeners why Christmas is so important, not only for the world in general, but for each person individually.
Well, I would hope that each of our listeners has a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, that they know they have had their sins forgiven and have eternal life. But we also know that when we speak to this larger group of people who may be tuning into our broadcast, that there may be some who even may be religious in the sense that they go to church and things like that. But it's important to have our sins forgiven and know that we have eternal life. And that comes through realizing that God became a man in the person of Jesus Christ, that he lived a perfect life and he died on the cross for our sins and in our place and shed his blood that we might have forgiven sin. And on the third day he arose from the grave, and by placing our faith and trust in him, we can have both forgiven sin and eternal life and an eternal relationship with the living God through Jesus Christ our Savior.
Amen and amen. Great discussion, David. Thank you for the research and taking us to the prophetic word of God, because as we think about the first coming of Jesus Christ, it's the fulfillment of prophecy, but also setting the stage for the second coming of Christ as well. Hey, a Merry Christmas to you and your precious family. Thank you so much for being with us this last year. And David, let me prepare you. Next week, we want to look back over 2017, the past, and then into the future, 2018. We'll do that next week when we get together for our discussion.
Thanks, Jimmy. Great to be with you again, and Merry Christmas.
Thank you so much. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to take a look at the book. What about those three important cities, Bethlehem, Nazareth, and Jerusalem? We'll go to those pastors in those locations for their comments as we take a look at the book on this special edition of Prophecy Today, Christmas Around the World.